You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 424, and we're here to talk about the matchup with North Carolina State. Notre Dame, number 9 team in the country, hosting number 14, North Carolina State. And Randall, normally we do our predicting the spread, but I had looked before I had a chance to even think about it. So did you have a chance to think what you thought it would be and then looking at it?
No, I didn't. But before we go any further, I want to say one thing. 49-14. We'll just leave it at that.
Maybe that should be in the introduction to the podcast.
Actually, I think I've seen the spread. I don't know. It's been a couple days ago. I think it was like at 4 when I saw it.
Oh, first time I saw it, it was 7.5.
I'm thinking I saw it at 4, but I don't know for sure. I just saw it in glancing. I wasn't looking for it.
I do think that's a very reasonable spread. I do think Notre Dame is going to cover quite easily.
Where's it at right now?
On ESPN, it's at 7.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking the USC game. I didn't actually look for it. I usually see it. Somebody else tweets it out or something. I honestly don't pay that much attention to the spread.
I forgot to mention, before we get into the preview for North Carolina State, the score prediction winner for last week's game was Raw 1792, predicted it on Twitter, predicted a score of 40-13. So
we had one believer.
One optimistic fan out there proven to be more right than the rest of us.
A lot of people, most people predicted 30-something to 20-something. That's where it was at. So, congrats to Ryan, I believe his name.
All right, we're going to go through North Carolina State, looking at them a little bit. We do have interview tomorrow with Matthew from PacInsider.com to talk about his view of the North Carolina State team. So you can look forward to that tomorrow. And then we'll, later in this episode, we'll go through Brian Kelly's press conference and go through the different position groups. And there's a few things from the press conference I wanted to ask you, Randall. And we'll get to it then. But North Carolina State, one of the most efficient offenses in the country. They don't turn the ball over. Brian Kelly said they sustain drives. They have zero interceptions on the season, which is unbelievable to think, especially when you realize they pass a lot. They average almost 300 yards passing, and zero interceptions.
And I believe he is Ryan Finley. I think he is getting close to the ACC record for consecutive passes without an interception. I think it's, what did he say, 60 something?
Yeah, 66. So it won't be broken on this upcoming Saturday.
Hey, well, and I was going to say, I don't mind it being produced. If they throw it 66 times, then I'm fine with that.
But I think that the streak is going to end on Saturday. we'll get more into that. But North Carolina State, they're averaging a lot of points, 35.5 points per game, giving up under 23 points per game. And compare that to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is scoring 41 points per game and giving up 16.5. So both of these teams have been scoring a lot of points and been holding teams down. North Carolina State's only loss came at the beginning of the year, their first game, which was against South Carolina. And it was a one-possession loss, and since then they have been winning. The question is still, how good of a team is this? Because they've beaten Marshall, Furman, and then they beat Florida State, which their fourth game of the season. But Florida State is not the Florida State. Florida State is the Notre Dame of 2017. of 2016, I mean. Florida State is not who they were. They're 2-4 in the season, and so just not who they were the last several years. But North Carolina State went on to beat Syracuse, Louisville, who, again, it looked like a huge, huge win at the time, but also isn't as impressive a few weeks later. Louisville is 4-2 on the season. I guess they're still a top 25 team. They're number 17 team in the country, according to the AP poll. So that's by far their most impressive win of the season. They did also beat Pitt a few weeks ago, 35-17. So, yeah.
It's hard to tell. A lot of people think this is going to be one of Notre Dame's toughest matchups. You know, you look at it, and their strengths match up with Notre Dame's strengths. I mean, it seems like they match up very well.
And Brian Kelly did
strength
say,
versus strength.
Yeah, they have a great front. They are good against the run. And Brian Kelly did say that this is similar to the Georgia team. Now, I think it's very much a Georgia light team. I don't think this is Georgia. Well, coming into South Bend.
That's kind of what I think I'm more confident than a lot of people are in this game. Basically because, yes, North Carolina State has a very good defensive line, but I don't think they're as good as Georgia's. Yeah, they have Bradley Chubb, but is he better than Harold Landry? Obviously, Boston College didn't use him like they should have. But it's Notre Dame has faced, I think this is an all good team all around. At like every defense, offense, just everything is good about this team. But if you look, break down each individual matchup, Notre Dame has faced better. I mean, mm-hmm. I'd still take Darnold or Finley. The biggest difference is obviously the turnovers. But, you know, Darnold's a very good passer as well. And Notre Dame shut him down.
It's kind of funny. USC, in some ways, was the polar opposite. North Carolina State offensively has been like very consistent, doesn't turn the ball over. But then USC, on the other hand, is like very up and down. Like yeah. When they're great, when they're good, they're great. But when they're bad, they're awful.
Yeah.
And North Carolina State is much more of a team that has plateaued, and they are who they are. They don't turn it over. They are consistent, and they do move the ball, no question about that, and they score a lot of points. But different than USC in that they don't have the highs, but then they also don't have the lows.
Yeah. I think the biggest surprise for me, especially during the interview with Matthew, was that he said, you know, everybody talks about the defense, but the offense is actually the better unit on this team.
And someone wrote an article over on the website, Notre Dame's chances of a playoff appearance, and then he looks at the different efficiency rating of North Carolina State and the rest of Notre Dame's opponents moving forward. And they, offensively, they are very efficient. I have it right here. They are 14th in the country when you take in the strength of schedule, their offensive efficiency. Notre Dame is 4th, just so you know. And then defensively, let me just pull that up real quick here. Great audio.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to pause it. Sometimes you pause it right there.
Here we go. I thought I'd have it a little bit quicker than that. Defensively, they're 56. So their perception, you're right, is definitely that this team has been carried by the defense, but it isn't. The offense is what has been keeping this team on a winning streak. Notre Dame is 15th in their defensive efficiency.
Well, and this offense has made it easier for the defense because, you know, teams have had to go to passing the ball because they need to keep up with North Carolina State, which helps the defense because the opposing team's offense is more predictable. So in some sense, that's kind of like Notre Dame. I mean, Brian Kelly even mentioned again in his press conference how when he said that the defense is ahead of the offense, he said everybody looked at him like he was crazy, but he was right. And so that's kind of what you have here. It's the obvious. The offense and defense are switched, but you have the same thing, and this offense is helping out the defense.
Brian Kelly mentioned that North Carolina State averages 3.2 points per possession, and I was trying to find where Notre Dame is at or even where that ranks in the country, and I didn't have time to look that up. But, you know, if it is that high, they're either scoring a touchdown on every other drive or they're kicking a field goal. So I did look this up for Notre Dame a few years ago, and I forget what it was, but it's not that hard to figure out if someone would want to figure it out and tweet it at us. But one thing that you need to do is also take into account at the end of halves or at the end of games when they're just kneeling the ball. But the other thing about this number, too, is that depending how far you're ahead, the offense runs differently. The offense isn't necessarily in point scoring mode where they need to score points.
Yeah, and I think one area that they aren't as good at is the red zone offense. They're not nearly, obviously Notre Dame is very efficient with the red zone offense. They're right there. Are they number one? I have to look again. But that, I don't think they are anymore. But as far as touchdowns scored in the red zone, but in North Carolina State's 33 red zone trips, they have 20 touchdowns, which is still a good number, but that's 13. It's not necessarily field goals, but 13 times that they didn't score or had to kick a field goal, and I think they're ranked pretty low in that area. So that's something Notre Dame is in Notre Dame's favor because they do seem to play that bend but don't break, and they'll probably let them get into the red zone. And I believe their field goals, they're only 6 of 11 on field goals. They're 54.5% on field goals. And
it's like
the 3 of 4 from 20 to 29.
It's like Justin Yoon in September.
So the key for Notre Dame is going to be, you know, take advantage of that and hold them to a field goal and make them score the points with field goals.
The Notre Dame players were asked in their player interviews earlier today if Hines is the fastest running back that they've seen so far. And so here were some of the responses. Greer Martinez said that he runs downhill and he's fast. Drew Tranquil said that Hines is definitely one of them. And then Niles Morgan said that everyone's pretty fast.
Niles Morgan is, that's how all his answers are.
When you look,
he's not too excited about it. I think after the first question was over, it was kind of quiet. And he was like, that's it? I can go? And then somebody else asked a question. So
if you look at the interview time, his interviews are always one of the shortest interviews.
I think his was 6 minutes and Tranquil's was like 16 or 18, something like
Tranquil's
that.
Tranquil's and Josh Adams were each over, around 12 to 15 minutes. Yeah. Greer's interview was also shorter.
But Tranquil also mentioned
USC's.
Yeah, Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, I walked right past Ronald Jones after the stadium, and he was definitely not the fastest guy I've seen. He was hobbling out to the bus, so maybe he was one of the fastest ones coming in, but he didn't leave as one of the fastest.
All right, I want to talk about some of the things Brian Kelly mentioned in the press conference, not necessarily relating to North Carolina State, but more about Notre Dame. Are you finished talking about North Carolina State until we give our final thoughts and score predictions at the end?
One other thing, the other one guy to watch for is Jalen Samuels. He's the number one. I mean, besides Ryan Finley, the quarterback, Jalen Samuels is the guy that lines up everywhere on the field. I mean, supposedly he's a tight end. He's only 5'11", but he's a halfback, running back, slot. They move him everywhere, and that might be part of the issue that defenses have in stopping him because you never know where he's going to line up. So as Brian Kelly mentioned, he's a matchup nightmare. So Notre Dame has to watch out for him, and I guess that's the guy to watch out for. He's number one, so watch out for number one and where he's at on the field. He's all over.
Did you mention how many touchdowns he has?
He has 10. And so let's say he is a tight end, which they didn't all come as a tight end. I think there were three of them were receiving. His receiving stats are 54 receptions for 453 yards and 3 touchdowns. But if he's a tight end, that would be a Notre Dame record for touchdowns. So isn't 10, we had talked about this because one of the over-under predictions was if Alzay Mack would get to 10. And, so he's very impressive. The thing is, he's not just lined up at tight end. So, but watch out for number one, and I'm sure every person on Notre Dame's defense is going to watch out for number one. But I often think when I look at think about what all he does, I think of guys like Stanford's Ty Montgomery or even Christian McCaffrey. Notre Dame has had good success at guys that line up at different positions. And, you know, so if they can shut down, the difference here is that wide receivers and running backs are pretty good as well. So it's not just like they can shut down Jalen Samuels and they're good to go. They got to watch out for other guys as well.
Speaking, okay, let's go into the press conference, but let's start with Brian Kelly was asked about, first off, last year's game against North Carolina. Do you look at any tape from that? And he said no. Aside from cleaning up, I guess, the punt formation, which I think it was taken care of last year. They made some adjustments with that last year already. But other than that, no, they're not looking. They didn't look at any tape, really, from last year. Because, yeah, there really wasn't anything to go off of.
Well, he admitted it was a terrible game plan by him.
He took responsibility and said it was on him.
It took him a year to say that, but he finally sees what we...
Hey, he did take responsibility even last year.
Yeah, I know.
But the other part of that, North Carolina State has had success versus Mike Elko's defense. And so...
Don't say that.
Brian Kelly said that they don't they're not wringing their hands thinking about that. He doesn't seem too concerned about it. I'm not that concerned about it either. They clearly did have success against him, but I think the last three games they won all three games and scored a lot of points.
But last year they won 33-16.
Does it concern you? Do you think that, well, maybe North Carolina State, maybe they do have an answer for Mike Elko's defense that stops the run and takes the ball away?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the biggest difference is you're talking about a different group of athletes at Notre Dame than you did at Wake Forest. And just the team is better all around. Like this offense, you know, like I mentioned, North Carolina State helps out the defense with the kind of offense that they play. And I think it's the same way. I mean, Notre Dame has an offense that can score points as well. So they're just different things. I'm not really too worried about that.
And pretty much, I've last three matchups, North Carolina State with Wake Forest, it has pretty much been a 35-15 kind of game.
Yeah.
In 2014, it was the 42-13, but right in that range. But yeah, I do agree with you. Okay, here's one thing that I wanted to talk about. Brian Kelly said that the team, and this is how does a team not get complacent after a big win against a big rival, after a big season, midway through, it's not done yet. How does this not fall off the rails like it did in 2014? How does it not fall off the rails? Brian Kelly said that the players know how they got here and that they pretty much are committed to the process. They know what they've done and that's why they'll continue to have success. And so I've got two questions. Number one, I think he's right, and I think we will continue to have success this season. But do you think that this is able to be duplicated year in and year out? The reason I'm skeptical about it is that the different players, Drew Tranquil, talked about how they went the extra mile in winter workouts and doing, like, they pushed themselves personally, they pushed each other, and I guess I'm not sure if this is something that you're able to do year in and year out.
Well, I tend to think that it helps having the horrible year last year, because I said the players can see exactly what they're doing different this year and how it's making it, that it's obviously working. And the next thing is a lot of these guys will be coming back next year. So you'll have a carryover. Yeah, if this was a team full of seniors, as Colin Coward thinks that they are, that they've peaked because, you know, they have older players and on. A lot of these guys are coming back, and they can carry that over to the new guys coming in. And so I think it's a lot easier to establish it as a, this is who Notre Dame is now. This is how we do it. Because you have these guys that see huge differences and are coming back for next year as well. And so I think they can sustain, it's easier to sustain that because you didn't have quite as much carryover in 2012. And you didn't, I mean, you know, you had guys, it wasn't a big difference from the year before. Yeah, they won a couple more games, but it wasn't a drastic difference. So it's harder to pick out the small things that you did different. But this was a complete overhaul. The team knows exactly what they did different than last year.
I agree they know what they did. I guess my concern is that they still get complacent when January rolls around again. And I think more than ever, I do think that Matt Bayless is a huge, that strength and conditioning program is a big reason that Notre Dame is where they are. Well, as much physically as mentally and emotionally.
And that, I agree, that's a huge difference because when you feel like you are physically fit and dominating, I mean, you can tell. Those guys feel better about where they're at physically. And so you know it. I mean, and with this new strength and conditioning coach, it's going to keep being like that. You're not going to have the guys in the same shape they were last year. That has changed, and there's just something different. Yeah, if you are physically in shape like these guys are, then yeah, you walk around with some confidence just from that fact alone.
So you're pretty confident that this can be replicated in the coming years. I'm still skeptical. I don't think I'm going to believe it until I see it. Clearly, we still have a lot to do this year. I'm not trying to get ahead of it, but I'm so excited where Notre Dame is.
Well, I've changed my...
I'm already thinking about how, you know, this just can't last.
Well, I've changed my thinking because before Brian Kelly made all these changes and whatever, and he got another year, I had expected him to do good enough this year that he would stick around for one more year and then things would just fall apart. But he made all the moves that we wanted him to make and did all the right things, and it's made a difference.
And to the critics of Brian Kelly, I'd love to hear from you.
Are you sure there still are?
Well, I don't think they're very quiet right now.
Well, yeah.
But we know people, our friends, have been very critical of Brian Kelly.
I did see a tweet. Someone was calling out. Somebody started a Twitter site that was basically get rid of Brian Kelly. It's been started a while ago, and they did call him out. Like, where are you at now? You know, where's your billboard now?
Exactly. And I think, for the record, I think I was still behind. I was ready. If another poor season, I would have been finished supporting Brian Kelly. But I was more behind him, Randall, than you were, and definitely the group of friends that we hang out with.
I wanted him to stay around for one more year.
Other thing that Brian Kelly mentioned before we get into the position groups was expecting to run, being a more physical team, and expecting to rush for 250 yards. That was kind of the standard or the bar that was set. And then on defense to be more fundamental on defense. And he was pretty sure about both of those things. Well, they're rushing for way more than 250 yards. And he was right. They are sound fundamentally on defense. I don't think that, Brian Kelly didn't say that every year this is going to be the bar, 250 yards. And I do think that'll change too, depending the experience level of the quarterback and the experience level of the offensive line.
Because the experience part of the quarterback's a little bit scary because we know what happens in the second year.
Well, but I think for next year, the concern is the offensive line. You do have a lot of very high quality players, but McGlinchey, it took him a year after he switched to left tackle to really be a mistake free left tackle. And even this year, I mean he has made a few, but much, much improved from where he was a year ago.
He's not averaging a false start.
And you just know, even though there's very quality kids, you still know they're not. It's just different. I mean, they're not to the level
first-time starters.
They're not to the level of Mike McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to be. I don't think that bar is going to be met. Even if that is the bar, I don't think that's going to be met next year.
Yeah. Well, and with talking about all this, Brian Kelly said everybody's finally catching up to them because what they're playing for is a national championship. And, yeah, he's definitely feeling it right now.
Okay,
I mean, he's no problem kind of bashing the media guys and, you know, like, he told them they looked at him pretty like he was crazy when he told them that the defense was ahead of the offense. And he just said everybody's catching up to them now. I mean, he said that's what they're here to do is win a national championship. Every game is a playoff game for them.
Okay. And he said our mission is every year to win a national championship and graduate 100% of our players. What happens after you lose the second game? That's what worries me because then, I know that it's going to change. Well, we're playing
for next year.
Well, no, we're playing to get into a New Year's Six Bowl
or
something like that.
Well, that has come up in other years because, like Brian Kelly said, they don't have a conference championship. I mean, they've talked about this other years. You know, what do you play for after this? Because you don't play in a conference championship.
It's true. I mean, it's very true. And as fans, probably more than anything, that's what we're hoping for, wishing for.
Well, yeah.
Hence the articles over on the website about Notre Dame's chances of winning out and getting into the championship. Or getting to the playoff, I mean.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready to... ready to go through the different position groups.
Yeah.
Let's start with the offensive line.
Hey, they brought up Quentin Nelson and being honest again, so I didn't know if you caught that.
Clearly they took some kind of personality test.
Well, basically, one of the guys asked him, does that mean like he's brutally honest? Like, and Brian Kelly, yeah, that's another way to say it, you know, because he kept saying, or truthful is what they say. And he was asked, is that same as being brutally honest? And he's like, yes. So Quentin Nelson is truthful and Brian Kelly's, but we've talked about it before, you know, he said they had to kind of round off the edges a little bit because he might have said too much sometimes because he just says it how it is. But he was asked about Nelson switching to guard because he was originally a tackle. You know, was it hard for him to switch inside? And he said it wasn't really much of a fight. I mean,
especially if the coaching staff knew what they had in him, and they probably explained or made it clear that, you know, you could be playing in the NFL as a guard.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly also was asked about Mike McGlinchey. What is his leadership character and socially engaging? He didn't have the right word for it, but someone who's not afraid to stand up and talk in the...
Well, he's the vocal guy. I mean, everybody that follows the team knows who Mike McGlinchey is. He's the one that says this and that. I mean, he's kind of the vocal leader of the team.
Mm-hmm. And anything else from... Oh, I thought it was interesting. Josh Adams' answer about the right side of the line versus the left side of the line. He kind of was short with the question from the reporter.
He said they look at it as a group.
Yeah. And he said he doesn't know why they try to break it up into left side or right side, that the offensive line is a unit. And the person that asked the question was trying to give an opportunity for Josh to give some praise to the right side of the offensive line, how they're younger guys. They're not projected first-round NFL draft picks. And, yeah, he missed an opportunity there. What do you think about the right side of the offensive line? I mean, it's been...
He isn't always running behind the left side. I mean, some of the big plays he had against USC were not on the left side. It was Sam Mustipher and one of the tight ends making a block. And, you know, usually it's not out the right tackle. Whereas playing right tackle at the moment. But they've all been doing good. And he's been, you know, when you run however many times he does, it's not going to... You're running
on both
sides.
There was a chart in one of the games where it did show the yards when the running play went left versus when it went right. And it was pretty split as far as the attempts, but the yardage was different. It was pretty drastic.
Yeah.
But the right side, yeah, they've done four young guys, especially the two tackles, true freshman and a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
Done a great job. Anything more from the offensive line?
No.
And all right, tight ends. Nothing really new there as far as I'm.
No, I mean, they were mentioned, you know, as far as with the blocking. I mean, it seems like everybody knows the blocking they were doing with the offensive line. And right now you could almost add the tight ends to the outside Alize Mack, add them, you know, Smythe as an offensive lineman. That's what he's doing is blocking. I mean, he catches a pass here and there, but most of what he's doing is blocking and helping that offensive line, and he's making a difference doing it.
One thing that Brian Kelly did mention about the blocking was that this year, this is the identity of this team is a running, a physical running team, and that everyone from the offensive line to the running backs, if they're called to, definitely the tight ends and the wide receivers, like all nine guys besides the runner and the quarterback are committed to blocking. And he said this year, you know, they're a running team, whereas last year they were a passing team.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about...
Look at the results.
Yeah. Let's talk about the running backs. Josh Adams, he did heap a ton of praise onto the offensive line as a whole. And when he was asked about the Heisman chatter and hype, he just said there hasn't been any hype around campus. The only hype has been getting notified about exams coming up. And he does play it very cool, and you can't help but like him. I mean, he's so chill. In fact, I think when they started asking about the Heisman, it looked like his eyes were starting to just shut a little bit more, like he was just about bored with the question.
Well, it looks like he's going to go over 1,000 yards. He's only got 33 yards to go to hit 1,000 for the season. So, it's good. The running backs, it looks like they're all healthy. And I'm guessing we'll see more of the two back sets, Tony Jones and Josh Adams. And that's good because going against this North Carolina State team with the good run defense that they have, Dexter Williams is ready to go, and so it's worked out good in Notre Dame's favor. As far as the guys being injured, they won their games in dominating fashion without having all their running backs, but they're all here and ready to go against one of the best run defenses that they'll face. So,
all right. Wide receivers. Brian Kelly didn't have to answer any questions about Stefferson, if he's going to see the field anymore. But I do expect probably a lot similar to the USC game, EQ being out there a ton, and then Stefferson and Chase Claypool sharing time at that other wide receiver spot. Now, Brian Kelly was asked about EQ and how his attitude has been. A guy that had a huge year last year as a sophomore and probably coming into this year expecting a lot of things, and with this offense being much more based on the ground, you know, his numbers have not been there. And Brian Kelly said that he's always been about the team for him. He's very unselfish. And Brian Kelly did say that he probably could be a little more either demanding or selfish. I forget the exact words that he used. And I agree.
Fight for the ball.
You especially be more selfish when the ball is in the air and it's coming towards you. Be a little more selfish then.
Hopefully he's gaining a little bit more confidence or becoming more aggressive. He was more aggressive against USC.
I really liked.
And hopefully it'll start to, maybe that little fire under him, maybe he'll continue to improve on that.
Well, there's no way. I mean, he wasn't going to put up the numbers because of how much Notre Dame is running the ball and the amount of success that they're having running it. It wasn't like he was going to put up numbers better than what he did last year. Okay, quarterback. I love what Brian Kelly had to say about Brandon Wimbush, and he was asked about the comments he made from last week about finally the offense was beating the defense in the two-minute drill.
Oh, yeah.
And then this is what he said. The character traits or the things that go into making or what change in Brandon Wimbush. The first thing was emotional stability, and he said he's always had that throughout the fall. He's always been emotionally stable, but where he hasn't always been great is being physically fast, as far as dropping back, moving around in the pocket, and then these are kind of the stages too, like emotionally stable and then physically fast, dropping back. And then the third one is decisive. And this just makes so much sense. The way he explained it makes so much sense. Yeah, you have to be, you have to be in a stable state of mind, which I think we've always said, he's always looked that part of it, but he
has. Not against Georgia.
Well, maybe not against Georgia. He did maybe look a little deer in the headlights look there. But the only thing to get through that, according to Brian Kelly, is repetition. And I think some quarterbacks probably get through it quicker than other ones. And who knows, maybe taking a year off, maybe that stunted his quarterback growth a little bit. But I do think he is getting there, because Brian, I mean, he's making progress in practice. And I'm still confident that he's going to end up being he has been a huge contribution at the quarterback position on the ground, but I think he can get there in the passing game too.
Yeah, I think last week helped boost his confidence, and he's just going to continue to improve as a passer.
In fact, that was
being off for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and one of the examples Brian Kelly gave where he wasn't fast physically wasn't that touchdown pass to EQ, where he got it while EQ was still in bounds, but he could have thrown it a little bit quicker to be safe, because EQ was open, you know, before the ball did get there. A couple steps before the ball got there. All right, is that it for offense? Ready to move over to defense?
Yes.
Defensive line, Khalid Kareem, I think we mentioned it last week, he did get the game ball. And Brian Kelly said that defensive rotation was a philosophical match or alignment with Elko. When they hired Elko, that was something they wanted to do. And that's something that we saw them do midway through last season, was get more of a rotation throughout the defense as a whole, but it's been especially effective on the defensive line. Well, really, at every position, they have had some rotation at every level of the defense.
Yeah.
But it is insane. Khalid Kareem coming away with a couple sacks.
And he's a backup.
Julian is, I mean, he's a starter in their blitz, their third down package. But, yeah.
They'll have their hands full this weekend, but this whole group just continues to improve. You're not depending on one or two guys like
Sheldon Day from a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then linebackers.
All the talk was about Coney.
I know.
And there's one guy that just kept talking about how he's been since his incident a year ago. It was asked in Brian Kelly's press conference, and I think he asked every player.
He did.
But the thing with Coney, you're talking about the rotation. Coney is a leading tackler on the team, and he's been rotating with another guy, with Martini.
Well, but also at Mike.
I know, but he's not a Niles Morgan that's basically in there most of the plays, or Drew Tranquil. You know what I mean? Like, he's been one of the or players.
Yeah, but I bet he definitely played before USC. I bet he played close to as many snaps as Greer.
They were switching.
I'm even saying Drew Tranquil probably has the most out of all the linebackers.
Morgan has a lot more snaps than Coney does.
You're right. He probably has more, but he has been playing Mike as well.
I know, but he still has more. He's been a rotation guy. He hasn't been the starter. He's been a rotation guy up until last week. And he needs to be the starter.
I agree he needs to be the starter, but I still like that. I still like having somewhat of a rotation, but he needs to be getting more snaps than he was before last week.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, all the players were raving about him as well.
So Greer tore his meniscus in a special teams drill in practice, had his surgery, a week ago? I think it was Tuesday a week ago.
Yeah.
And I guess he's cleared to play Saturday. I thought he'd be out, but it sounds like he'll be available to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
All right, and then cornerbacks. I don't have anything. They weren't mentioned in the press conference that I took note.
No, there wasn't much talk about the cornerbacks at all.
And safeties, Brian Kelly was asked, you know, give them a grade from Saturday's win over USC, and he said that they did sound in tackling, but need to do better at communication.
And he also said if you would ask them, you know, what they need to prove on it, be communication. He said there was some confusion out there, but like I think I mentioned on Monday's podcast, there's not a lot. You don't hear about the safeties that much because this defensive front is playing so good. They haven't had to depend on the safeties to make the play. And so that's helped out a lot.
And just, I guess, some other notes. Josh Adams said that everyone's been saying they prepare the same every week. Josh Adams said they prepare like every opponent is a top 10 team, and North Carolina State, you know, may as well be, but coming up here in the few, you know, coming weeks when you got Navy and you've got some teams that Wake Forest, you know, that aren't top 10 teams, but they continue to prepare. At least they say they continue to prepare the same every week. And time will tell. At one of these times, it is going to be a close game. And the players were all asked. I think they were all asked.
Does it need to be?
Would you like it to be a close game as far as the competitor in you? Would you like to have a close game? And there was different answers. Greer said that, yeah, it would be fun to dominate a close game. Drew Tranquil, which he was the first one to say they want to punish the opponents. And he said you can, let me find, I think he said you can punish them if it's a blowout or if it's a one-possession game. But either way, he just wants to punish them. And
I love the attitude. I mean, he is trying to destroy teams, like he said. And even seeing him come out of the locker room before games, it's like Tony mentioned Saturday, he looked like he wanted to kill somebody. I mean, he was in the zone, and it's paying off for him.
All right, that's all I've got. You ready to talk about how we think the game's going to go?
Oh, man.
Score predictions?
This is kind of a tough score prediction. Well, we can't get worse than last week, can we?
Last week I was very far off in that one. I'll start off with my gut prediction, which I already mentioned, but I do think Notre Dame is going to pick off Ryan Finley.
Wow.
And his streak, and most likely his chances of winning or of getting the most pass attempts without an interception. So I do think Notre Dame gets an interception. The turnovers in this game are going to be big. Notre Dame, we were talking about this before we recorded, Randall, that Notre Dame has just done so well scoring points off turnovers. Everyone, we all know that. But here's a team that doesn't turn the ball over. They have had some fumbles, but they don't throw picks often. And if Notre Dame doesn't win the turnover battle, if it's either the same or both teams have zero, I do think this could end up being a closer game. I still think Notre Dame overall is better. I don't think Notre Dame is going to struggle against running the ball like they did against Georgia, partly because I think the players have improved, gotten better. And I think that the play calling is where the biggest difference is early in the season compared to where it was now. Against USC, the play calling was phenomenal. And we probably, we mentioned it a little bit as far as running outside, running in, taking shots deep. But the play calling in that game was very, very good. Good job, Chip Long. And I do think that is something that you can continue to build on. You saw what worked against USC. You saw it didn't work against Georgia. And so now I think that Notre Dame can continue to take the next step. I think Brandon Wimbush can take another step. It's going to be a challenge. No question about it, it's going to be a challenge. But I think that Notre Dame can win this game handily. So my score prediction for this game, I know this offense is putting up a lot of points, but I do think Notre Dame continues to hold teams to 20 or fewer points. I'm going Notre Dame 34, North Carolina State 20.
Wow.
So this is one of the first times I've been picking closer games for Notre Dame. So this is the first time when I think, anyway, I'm taking a little bit of
a leap.
A little bit of a leap.
That's good. That's good. I think this team, there's so many things that I guess are in Notre Dame's favor. Like this, if this be any other time, or if it, a couple things would have gone different, you know, this game might be closer. But Notre Dame lost to North Carolina State last year, and they shouldn't have, and they know it. They just dominated USC. They have a lot of confidence, and they want to.
And what no one else seems to know, except for the Notre Dame team, is that this is a playoff game.
True, true.
Notre Dame is already in the playoff.
But I give Notre Dame a couple extra points when they lost to the team the year before. I think they play a little more with a chip on their shoulder when it's like that. And so that's in their favor. And I don't think that they're going to pick off the quarterback. I don't. I think they're going to get a fumble recovery in this game, but I don't think they're going to have an interception. If they would have an interception, my score prediction would be further apart. The gap would be wider.
You're probably going to pick a bigger win than I did.
Actually, no, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm afraid. I looked over and saw the 40-13. I was like, what? And then I thought, oh, yeah, that's the winner from last week. So.
Yeah, I'm not going that high.
But Notre Dame has played Georgia, and I do think Georgia's defensive line is better than North Carolina State.
Mm-hmm.
They played, even though Sam Darnold had a horrible game last year, I think he's a better quarterback than what Ryan Finley is. So the North Carolina State unit as a whole, the team is much better, but at each spot, Notre Dame has played better guys. You know, yeah, like I said, they're going against Bradley Chubb, but they played Harold Landry and the Georgia defensive line. So I'm feeling confident about this game. It's at home. That's the other thing. It's at home, and Notre Dame finally has a home field advantage. And the other thing I was going to add is, yeah, they're going up against good run defense, but because they lost to Georgia, this offensive line is determined not to let that happen again, the running backs. And so they are going to have success running the ball, despite North Carolina State's high rush defense. So because all these things have happened, it's adding up for Notre Dame to have a bigger win in my mind. So I'm going with Notre Dame 34-24. And I do think if they'd get an interception, it would be more than that, but I don't think they can get the interception.
So pretty much we have the exact same score.
It's very close.
It comes down to the interception. Will there be an interception or not?
So that's the difference. You pick 34-20 because they'll get an interception. I pick 34-24 because they won't get an interception.
All right. Be sure to tweet out your score prediction, and the person that is closest to that will get a free pound of coffee from Main Street Roasters. MainStreetRoasters.com. It is locally roasted coffee. All right, that's all we've got. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.